Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Jonathan Janssen, a very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning.
It's that time of year. It's that dilemma that we seem to be deal with over and over again this time of year, meaning that we haven't resolved this issue in South Africa. And that is concept and the problem around affordable higher education. Is it possible to erase 13 billion rand of student debt?
Given the state of the South African economy, that's impossible. But it is possible to make a dent in that 13 billion. And my proposal is for government to restructure the national budget so that we can at least give back to institutions 50%. Of the outstanding debt to the 26 public universities on a pro rata basis, mm-hmm. and then enable students to study, without debt. But that's only 50% of the problem solved. The other problem we need to solve is to make sure that the debt never again balloons to this level, because 5-10 years from now we'll be in exactly the same mm-hmm. place, mm-hmm. and I have specific proposals for how we can do that.
Do you think this is, on the face of it, it's most certainly about student debt, it's about affordability, it's about the exclusion of students who are unable to fund to pay it for their education. Is there a subtext to this? And isn't it, well, I'm asking a loaded question because I believe there is. Doesn't the say speak more or as much to the general frustration that we're seeing from South Africans and South African youngsters in particular?
Yeah, this crisis comes on top of a whole lot of other traumas. I think people are fairly fed up with the state of government. People make, calculations that compare things sometimes unfairly. But people, for example, would say, if you can bail out the tune of 27 billion on a regular basis South African Airlines, why can't you find the money?
Certainly better to spent.
Much better spent if you privatize the airline, which is hopelessly overdue. And that kind of thing. So yeah, it comes on the trauma of COVID, and frustrations of families not being able to sustain, income and that kind of thing. So yeah, people are fairly fed up, and that makes it worse.
It's so interesting because there's this ambivalence, and I'm just reading a message from one of our listeners that says, "Good morning, Howard. When I was at school, if you couldn't afford to go to university, you didn't go. So now I found myself wondering what is causing the fees protest. Right. Is it entitlement or government promises of free education?" And it's interesting because I think I was privileged enough to have my university paid for by my parents. I didn't even consider that it could be a problem. That's because I grew up in this bubble. But I know that my father had to worked underground in the mines during his holidays in order to pay for his engineering degree. It was an incredible amount of sacrifice. But he still was able to do that because even though he came from poverty, he still lived in a relatively, in inverted commas, privileged environment. How do we get that? How do we allow other South Africans in general to understand the magnitude of this problem? Because it isn't just simply about affordability and saying, well, if you can't afford, don't go. It speaks to so much more.
Yeah, 1994 came with a huge number of promises, and the ANC in particular, put out this notion there of education for all. And then with Zuma, irresponsibly, when we didn't have the money, free education, and no fee increases and that kind of thing. I tell you what my deeper concern is. My concern is not so much with students saying, you can't tap water out of a stone. We don't have the money, but we want to study because we make the reasonable calculation that if I get a degree, my chances of employment, my chances of a better life is much better than if I only have matric. And that is true. The deeper concern I have is something else though. And that is a sense that I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to pay any way. I don't have to pay back, you know, my NSFAS loan component when I get a job. In other words, this culture of non-payment that you see in many of our municipalities, that thinking now translates into a culture of non-payment among students. And I don't believe education is never free. We just need to stop talking like that. You know, somebody always pays, you know. And I would prefer that our government bites the political bullet, implements a payroll tax, so that, as in my case, I studied to become a teacher on a bursary, right? I got my BSc, I got the teaching post, and from day one, I paid back so that my siblings could study without the load. But if we don't have that logic built into the system, then you have this misbelief, this misguided belief that everything is just free, you know, and somehow somebody pays for me and to help with the system. And that is the bigger danger.
Yeah, and a few listeners saying, well, you know, worldwide people are paying back their loans for 10 years. The concept of something for free is always problematic, and we know this. If you don't pay for something, I mean, I know when I do a presentation or a talk or somewhere, and if it's for a charity, no matter what it is, if I charge for it, I get treated better, it's respected more, it's valued more highly than if I say, you know, all right, fine, I'm just going to be doing this for free because I'm a nice guy. I know that that will be one of the less appreciated things that I do. So for some reason we wired that way. If you can just pop into university because it's free and there's no consequence of dropping out or of not working, you give it a good sort of a bash and then off you go, but somebody else has paid for it. I think it is a problem. There needs to be that level of commitment. It maybe does need to be a little bit painful.
Yeah, and I think the logic of what you just said needs to be explained to people, you know, that when you pay back, you're helping build the country. When you pay back, you're helping give chances to other people who would not have had chances as you did. In other words, this is not just about, you know, I tell you what the backstory here is, that one of the reasons people are so reluctant to pay back, you know, is because our political leadership is reluctant to pay back.
100%.
So when you must plead with your former president to pay back the money, the ordinary Joe on the street says, but then why must I pay? You know, when there is such whole scale corruption in the state, visible corruption, when ministers, I mean, I don't even saw the Sunday headlines, you know, where did you hear that a minister, Patricia de Lille in this case, has to beg parliamentarians to pay their rent.
it's an unbelievable thing.
So the guy in Tembisa or, you know, Kayalicha says, man, why are you pressing on my number? You know, when these guys earn much more than I do, don't pay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I say I believe that on some level this is about so much more. It's a sign of many of the factors that have gone wrong within our South African context in the last couple of years, and it's about frustration. It's about the fact that we've created this environment, and I don't think we should. And I'd love your thoughts on it. I don't think we should remove ourselves from the rest of the world. This type of student protest, this type of thing, is not uncommon, and it is about students finding a voice as well.
I love you know, student activism. I love the idealism, you know, and so on, and that is something obviously one has to encourage. But because it is so incredibly destructive, because it, you know, you can't just protest, you must burn, you must tear down statues, even though it's meaningless to tear down a statue of celebrating workers,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
that gave this country its wealth. And, you know, and it's demeaning, and then it leads to retaliation, and people get shot dead on the streets. You know, I tell you, you know, I've got a hard line on activism. You know, the moment it threatens lives, it threatens property from either side, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it. And so on. So while we must create space for public activism, public protest and so on, we really have to ask whether the cost of doing that in South Africa is not
so high. Just before I let you go, isn't an answer somewhere as well around technology space where you could have 100,000 people in a class? Maybe then you pay to write the exam, you can get some form of certification. Aren't we, isn't it time to start pushing along those lines as well?
Yeah, look, I think a hybrid form of education is always going to, is our future, whether we like it or not. And COVID forced the issue. The lockdown forced the issue. But there's always going to be a place for face-to-face teaching as well. Partly because of the nature of some of the disciplines, you know. You can't do laboratory work online, for example. But also, even in the humanities, you know, I mean, there are certain kinds of courses that I would like to teach in which I simply can't look at a screen.
Absolutely.
Where people like Sina Babetsi is invisible to me, and she might be having a good nap somewhere.
In fact, you can count on it. Yeah.
teaching for me is very interactive. It's very, you know,
I
and especially, by the way, especially for poorer students who really do need that interaction.
Yeah.
Okay, I got another media thing coming
up. Yes, and I need to, we are 2 minutes over time, but I do appreciate you taking the time to speak to us, Professor Jonathan Jansen, Professor of Education, Stellenbosch University, President of the Academy of Science of South Africa, chatting to us about the student protest.